Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Recent topic we were discussing is Donald Trump seems to be signing on board with the escalation of the war on drugs mentality that we're starting to see from more and more Republican candidates out there, which is very disturbing. They're not realizing the failure of this particular government program. You know how the Republicans like to tout themselves as quote-unquote small government and quote-unquote free market. No, when you ask them about, oh, you're for free markets, aren't you? They'll say, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, how about drug legalization? How about we allow a free market in drugs? Oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, it's dangerous. Somebody might actually get high. And as though that's not happening right now.
Have you ever gotten high before? Because it's not that dangerous.
Well,
I mean, at least not like, you know, the weed and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? Dangerous things happen every day. Mm. And one of the most dangerous things you can do is get behind the wheel of a car and drive to work.
Yep.
So people take risks all the time, and free people should be free to take risks, which is funny because a lot of Republicans understood this during COVID. They understood the idea of you own your own body, at least when it came to the COVID vaccinations, right? There was plenty of Republicans. We were out protesting with some of them out in front of the governor's house.
The majority of them were Republicans.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I don't know if it was the majority of Republicans, but the majority of the protesters were Republicans, that's for sure. And so, like, yeah, oh, they totally understood your body, your choice when it came to vaccinations, but they don't understand it when it comes to abortion, and they don't understand it when it comes to drug use. So they have no consistency. They have no principles whatsoever. And if you think I'm picking on the Republicans too much, the Democrats are just as bad. Geez.
We pick on the Democrats, I think, more than we pick on the Republicans.
I don't know. Maybe we. I don't know. But there's plenty of drug warrior Democrats too. It's not like the Democrats own ending the drug war. They don't care about ending the drug war.
The problem is that the parties are so similar.
They both
do a lot of the same stuff. It's like war. They're both warmongers. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, the Democrats might not be out in your face about it as much, but
they are these days.
Yeah, well,
the Democrats are all about Ukraine, and so now that the Democrats are all about war in Ukraine, now the Republicans are starting to sound like they're anti-war. But you don't have to listen long before you hear them advocating what we're talking about, which is actually starting a new war in Mexico against drug cartels. I mean, this is the most insane idea yet when it comes to the war on drugs. This is absolutely insane, and thankfully you told us earlier, Chris, that apparently the Pentagon has warned against doing this.
Said repeatedly for decades that
they would rather not do something like this because it's an insanely bad idea that's going to have all kinds of blowback and negative consequences. Let's go to the phone. So we got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Is that Brother Chris that's with you there?
It is.
All right, brother. Well, I got serious issues with the Donald. Donald J. Trump. The J stands for jackass, no doubt. Now, I hope the Donald's listening to the Ricky from the Commonwealth. I'm going to tell him a few things. I've been a chronic caller on this show for years. I've been smoking weed since I was 15. But I'll say this. Between 2015 and 2016, my thing was crystal. And I was using crystal. Two lines a day, maybe every other day or so. I was flying when I called in this show. Now, 2017, 2017's even better. That was my best year as a Confederate Democrat. I called in. I deliberately was high every single call on cannabis.
Damn.
Now, that being said, you see, the problem here is Big Pharma's drugs. We have 8% of the world population use 80% of the drugs, namely antidepressants, antipsychotics, and opiates. Now, on the fentanyl, you know, 14 years ago, I talked to junkies who were taking a needle, sticking it into a 100-milligram fentanyl patch, and injecting it. Now, the Donald don't seem to have a problem with that. But not only weed, but at least quality product when it comes to crystal are both much safer than them. Now, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I drink alcohol. I like my Rolling Rocks and my bourbon. But you know what? Alcohol, I'm not even talking heavy abuse. I'm talking a little more than moderate. You're getting drunk regularly. All it does is deaden brain cells temporarily. That's it. That's how alcohol
I don't know if it's temporary, man. I mean, I've seen some long time.
You know what happens is, over time, with alcohol, they'll deaden those same brain cells over and over again, and they won't regenerate. That's what happens.
Yeah, you're like, you see some older people that you can tell they have drank way too much for way too long, and there ain't no coming back.
Well, they get that bloated thing going, too.
Yeah, they get the red face, too. You can always tell.
You know, I mean, I've had it. I mean, I've had it with the Donald. He's going to execute people. Now, once he starts executing drug dealers, how long is it going to take before he starts executing people that are responsible, enjoy quality weed and quality crystal for using that?
I don't think he would go that far. I mean, because
he's going to publicly execute drug dealers.
Well, it's tough talk.
That's not much of a stretch.
It's tough talk, Ricky.
It sounds like he's...
Well, he seems to have a personal issue with this. I mean, doesn't he remember the war on drugs with Nancy Reagan?
Sure.
There's no war on drugs. That's why they used to be his big role model. Has he forgotten that?
You know what he wants to do is turn this country into a Christian Saudi Arabia.
Oh, God. I was talking about the Christian nationalism before. Screw this. You know, people have the right to either be a Christian or not. Mm-hmm. That's the way constitutionality works. It works both ways, Donald. You know?
When you say Christian Saudi Arabia, Chris, you mean high restriction as far as chemical substances? And
I believe that Saudi Arabia executes drug dealers.
I think you're right.
I'm sorry, anybody who...
You get caught with drugs, you're in trouble.
With drugs, yeah.
I don't know if you'll get executed, but you'll be in big trouble, right?
I think they execute anybody coming in with drugs, at least at a minimum, yeah. So.
Wow. Ricky, any other comments on that? Go ahead.
Well, one thing to anybody listening to Free Talk Live.
It hasn't stopped drugs going into Saudi Arabia either, by the way. Just to clarify that.
Just check out the archives all throughout 2017, every night. I called in. I was on quality, a little Jamaican red, little purple haze, nice and green. High every single time. That was my best year.
Thanks for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
I wonder, what's the point of the call? Did he have a purpose? You know, so most of these callers, they just ramble on.
Well, Ricky is a bit of a rambler, that is true, but I think that the purpose of his call was to lambast Donald Trump for his anti-war or his pro-war on drugs position, and which makes me wonder about you.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's a really funny statement coming from you.
Yeah, I mean, well, Sarah, I mean, what do you think about this? You've been advocating crackdowns on drugs before, right? Like you want to take cigarettes out. You want to, you know, prohibit people from smoking at bus stops and things like that. You seem to be in favor of the war on drugs. Is that right?
The more I think about it, I'm in favor of those drug homes since they explained it. Mm-hmm. Remember, I was in favor of it where you do, and then they monitor you. So if you almost die, they rescue you. So I'm kind of in favor of it. But
are you talking about like a drug home? Are you talking about like a recovery place where people live and they're monitored? Is that the idea?
No, like in Europe, they have a place to do drugs, and then if it gets out of hand, they'll rescue you.
You mean like an injection site? A safe injection site.
Something like that. And I kind of am in support of that since I heard their argument. But
really? Okay, well, that's good news, Sarah. I'm glad to hear that you've changed your position on this. So do you
think go back and forth.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, but just to be clear,
a little bit of execution, a little bit of rehab, mix the two together, you switch them up every once in a while.
So let me make sure
maybe kill some of the rehabbers.
Let me make sure I'm following you here, Sarah. You think there could be...
I don't know about being a this whole war against the drug part of it, but I think that there should be a knowledge that it should be discouraged that the drugs are harmful. And that's why I'm in support of the alcohol drug rehab programs.
Do you use any drugs personally, Sarah?
Do you ever take Advil?
No, I don't take any of that stuff.
How about alcohol?
No, because I drink a little bit here.
She's a hard drug user, Chris. She drinks alcohol. Now, when you say you drink a little,
I don't drink any of it. I thought
you said a little bit.
I thought that was good, and I don't even drink any of it. I don't drink any alcohol.
So you used to drink alcohol, but you've quit drinking alcohol?
I drink a little bit here and there, but it wasn't. I just never had.
I just
want to
see what I'm clarifying here. You drink a little bit here and there, or you've drank? You have drunk previously.
Just with the meals in here.
When was the last time you had an alcoholic beverage?
Just maybe a sip, maybe about 5 months ago.
Just a sip.
Who drinks a sip of alcohol, of any kind of alcohol? If you said a shot, okay.
Yeah.
But a sip?
One sip. You sure you didn't drink the whole bottle?
I was calling about today.
By the way, good for you, Sarah, if it's true that you've actually quit drinking alcohol. That's good for you. I mean, I'm glad to hear it. I quit back in 2021, I think it was. So, yeah, I'm with you.
I never was a drinker. I never just had a sip here and there, but it didn't do nothing for me. Then.
Okay, all right. What else?
Yeah, well, you might need a little bit more than a sip if you want it to do something for you.
All right, what else you got, Sarah?
So, Vernalillo County Commission got two electric cars. They got two electric cars, and now they're encouraging the workers to ride buses and ride bicycles back and forth to work. This is one of the things they want you to do to save fuel. You know what I mean? So
they're encouraging, clarify, you're saying they're encouraging county workers, the county government employees, to take a bus?
That's correct. They're encouraging them since they got these two all electric cars for the county commission. Now they're encouraging employees to take the bus.
So the county commissioners get the electric car to drive around, but the other employees have to take the bus?
Well, it's an encouragement.
What are they doing? How are they encouraging them? Are they incentivizing it somehow?
It was announced. It was announced that news.
So they're not going to give them a bonus or something like that, or somehow incentivize them to take the bus. They're just
paying for their bus ticket.
They're just saying, hey, you guys, we think you should take the bus.
I don't know what the incentive is. I wonder if they're going to get a gift card.
Right, because there's not much of an incentive to take a bus on on its own. I mean, it's generally an unpleasant experience for a lot of people. So,
that's a really good the incentive, like you said. If they do ride a bus back and forth, that they would give them $5 a day or something to their paycheck. You know what I mean? If they could prove that they did, I mean, that's going to be the hard, difficult part.
How often just buy the bus ticket or something?
How often do the buses come along in Albuquerque? Is it like every 5 minutes, every 15 minutes? What's the frequency?
Monday through Friday, it's pretty good. You know, it's okay. Unless they don't have a bus driver or they don't show, they just skip an hour. They're short of bus drivers.
But you didn't answer my question. How often is it? Is it once an hour, once every 15 minutes? I mean, you take the bus.
Monday through every 30 minutes, depending on what route. Central and San Mateo, you get more buses. But the other routes, you get every 30 minutes.
Every 30 minutes. All right. That's not very frequent. I mean, that's kind of inconvenient, right?
It can become really inconvenient if you have to transfer, too. I haven't done a whole lot of bus riding, but I was in San Diego. And, yeah, I mean, it'd take you an hour to get across San Diego.
Well, I mean, it might take you an hour to get across San Diego anyway, right? Is the traffic really good there?
No, that's pretty bad. But even, that's probably, It's worse.
It'll be worse.
Yeah, it'll be way worse.
Because you're stopping constantly.
Yeah. It's I mean, if you think about it, taking 40 minutes, you know, it takes you 2 hours, you know.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Let's go on to Cynthia. She's in California. Cynthia, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris.
Yeah, I'm actually in San Francisco.
I'm sorry to hear about that. How are things in San Francisco?
Well, mostly the street people are friendly and courteous. And a few are totally out of control, and we have trouble getting the police to pick them up timely and do something about it.
Now, do you live in downtown San Francisco, or what part of San Francisco are you in?
Oh, I'm in the Colt Gulch area. That's not Lower Knob Hill.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with the geography. Is that considered to be a good area of town or not so much?
Yes. But frankly, there's a lot of unhoused people up here, too.
Really?
And a lot of screaming and yelling at night, but not a lot of violence. So, but I'm a retired physician, and I used to own a minor emergency, so I'm used to dealing with people who come in with pain problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to explain that the federal government has handicapped Trump in the sense that they have consistently suppressed useful information and substances that physicians could have been using. For example, the feds made ibogaine illegal. Mm-hmm. You know about ibogaine?
Yeah. We've heard a lot about it. Ibogaine is the psychedelic substance, right?
Right. It takes, about 2 or 3 days, and then they get about 6 months that they're free of a desire to take narcotics.
Yeah, it's a very powerful medicine, but, I mean, Trump isn't advocating to legalize that. He's talking about increasing the war on drugs.
If they had legalized it, if they hadn't made it illegal, then physicians would have gotten skilled at using it, and we'd have probably far fewer addicted people.
Oh, I don't disagree with you on that. I'm not sure what that has to do with Donald Trump, though. I mean, he's the one talking about increasing the war on drugs.
That's because he may have seen no other options. But military action.
That's ridiculous because
how about just legalizing what you're talking about?
The option is to end the violence and to legalize the drugs, and then you solve almost all of the problems literally within, you know, nights, within days.
With the stroke of a pen.
You know, I see this situation from a physician's perspective, which is that you take away their narcotics, and they're going to be in a great deal of pain.
Yeah, sure.
A great deal of pain. And
they'll end up on another drug.
And we can use Kratom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kratom to help break that addiction. And the feds tried to make that illegal 2 years ago. And there was a huge pushback, and they had to back off.
I mean, you've talked about the people that are in the streets there in San Francisco. I mean, these are people that are using illegal drugs, right?
Right.
Yeah, and they get all the illegal drugs they need to get, and they get high, and they get in some cases in your way, and they get dangerous, and they you know, or they're peeing in the streets, or you know, dropping a deuce here and there, or whatever, and it's pretty gross, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So the way you solve that problem is not by making drugs more illegal.
Listen,
is you end the war on drugs so they can get cheaper, and then more people can afford the drugs, and then they get better drugs.
I think on the prior show, somebody mentioned the fact that you could actually give them morphine, and it would be cheaper and safer to have that administered.
Yeah, if it was legal. If it was legal to do that, but unfortunately,
it's not. Right. So that's how I'm saying Trump has been handicapped by all the.
Trump isn't handicapped. He's out there calling for more arrests. He's calling for more a crackdown and the death penalty for somebody who sells morphine.
Right. He's upping the ante because these other options have been withheld.
Are you acting like Trump has never heard of drug legalization?
Well, he may never have heard of it in a positive manner.
I mean, maybe, I guess. I mean, the odds that he could get to age 74 as a politician who goes to campaign stops and talks to a bunch of people, he's never heard of the idea of legalizing drugs.
That's hard to believe.
I don't buy it.
It's in the newspaper. It's not like this is something that's secret.
Think about all the bad advice he got from the nation's leaders regarding COVID and vaccinations.
LRN.FM.
Cynthia, I understand that it's frustrating to you, and I will let you have a second crack here. I just need to make sure our dump machine is all set. So, look, you can't say that on broadcast radio, okay?
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that was considered a forbidden word.
Yeah, so just be careful.
Okay.
But I just... You're saying here, you're one of these people, it sounds like, that just makes excuses for Donald Trump, as though he's just this dummy who is constantly being manipulated by the people around him, the very people that he claimed he was going to D.C. to drain the swamp of, and then didn't.
I'm just speaking from a common sense approach to how I would have done it when I was in practice. There's all kinds of additional information. For example, Roundup is now shown to affect the brain in mammals, causing
Roundup, the weed killer?
At risk for addiction.
The weed killer? Roundup?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's in all the grain products. It's in the rice. It's in, you name it. They've been loading us with that. And what it does is it sets up their brain for addiction. So maybe they need to take that stuff off the market, because one thing addicts do is they load up on sweet pastries. And between the sugar, which has Roundup in it, and the wheat flour, which has Roundup in it, and the wheat itself.
See, here's the thing, Cynthia. Here you are calling to make another prohibition. You're saying we can help the addicts by prohibiting this other product. And I understand the critiques of Roundup. I get it.
It should never have been approved in the first place.
No, that's the thing.
It's a synthetic compound. And it damages the brain.
I get the critiques of Roundup. I understand Monsanto, bad news, big corporate mega food or whatever. I understand all the critiques, but I do not support violence as the solution. And when you say something should be banned, you are saying that someone should be threatened with violence if they do a thing, right? That's what you're talking about.
Well, I'm saying that they should never have licensed them to produce that substance.
So that's another way of saying if someone were to produce the substance without a license, then somebody would do violence against them, right?
I'm saying no farmer would use it if they knew that people would boycott their products.
Well, now that would be
that might be a good solution to the problem, then. Why don't you start a boycott of the products?
Because we only found out just several years ago that without our knowledge, they started applying it to the wheat crops. It was never approved for the wheat crops, but they started applying it as a method of causing the grain to mature faster and give them a few more pennies of profit, supposedly.
Yeah.
But can you hear me?
We hear you fine. But what you pointed out here is a market-based solution, which is a boycott and an awareness campaign, advertising, letting people know of a thing that you think is a bad idea. That's a much better idea than going and using the guns of government and the violence of the state to try to construct rules that are just mandates that are going to be backed with violence to try to sculpt society in the way that you want. Thank you for the call tonight, Cynthia. I do appreciate it. The number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We have plenty of time for you if you want to join us. Coming up, we talked about Chicago, we talked about California, and now New York City is the latest nightmare. In this case, it's an attack against Airbnb and people who just want to rent a room in their house temporarily. We'll talk about it coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden praising lawmakers on both sides of the aisle for coming together to pass a debt ceiling bill and avert a potential economic disaster.
Passing this budget agreement was critical. The stakes could not have been higher. If we had failed to reach an agreement on the budget, there were extreme voices threatening to take America for the first time in our 247-year history into default on our national debt.
In his first address to the nation from the Oval Office, the president said the budget agreement was critical and to sign the bill Saturday. U.S. stocks closed sharply higher to end the week. Stocks soared on the heels of a strong jobs report and lawmakers passing that debt deal. Dow jumped more than 2%. America's credit rating may still take a hit, though. Credit ratings agency Fitch Ratings said Friday it will keep the nation's AAA rating on its negative watch list. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email.
Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
For free archives going back for many years, different social media options like social.freetalklive.com. That is our Mastodon system, which was recently updated to version 4 point whatever it is. It wasn't version 3, now it's version 4. I don't know what they changed. Still looks like Mastodon to me. Maybe they fixed some bugs.
A lot of wanted features, though, apparently.
Perhaps. But, yeah, people were asking for that, so we got that done. You can go check that out over at social.freetalklive.com. It's a way to get interactive with other Free Talk Live listeners, people that appreciate decentralization and more freedom to express yourself, because you still don't have that on the centralized platforms. We give a lot more freedom of expression over at social.freetalklive.com. So be sure you get over there and get interactive. Also, I want to say thanks to Kat Cooper, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Kat is a silver level supporter, meaning that Kat is doing $5 a month to the AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live, to help introduce more people to the ideas of freedom on more great radio stations all around the country. And if you appreciate the work that we do, you can join Kat over there at amps.freetalklive.com for as little as $5 a month, and you can help us with our mission here. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You know, since we're talking about the war on drugs, Chris, and we just had somebody who said she was a doctor previously on the show talking about the insane drug war policies out there, I had an update on a story. I don't know if you were on this show, Chris, but it's been some months, I think, since we covered the story. It was about ketamine.
Don't know that it was.
Yeah, so the story was about this doctor in South Carolina who had built a nationwide practice. This story from the Washington Post. This is an update. Built a nationwide practice prescribing ketamine for patients to use at home. Notified recently that he's been told he has to stop. Now, what these patients were using this for was things like PTSD, severe depression, major, major, like, psychological kind of issues. And they were finding that the ketamine was very, very helpful to them in this particular form of treatment. But ketamine is also a scheduled narcotic substance with the DEA. And so while it's not, I don't think, on Schedule 1, it is on the drug schedule. I'm not familiar with exactly which location it is, but it's prohibited, right? Like, you're not allowed to just have ketamine.
Hmm.
But you can have it under the certain controlled circumstances by prescribed by a doctor. But what had happened with this guy, and they probably get into it, is he was, during COVID, able to expand his practice due to telemedicine. I don't know if you're familiar with the telemedicine.
Oh, is this that guy? Maybe we did. I may have been on a show when we covered this.
I would think we might have because you know, I like to hold drug issues for nobody nights when nobody's with us here.
Live.
And now they're after him. Federal DEA contacted him. He says his name is Scott Smith. He's from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. He emailed his patients the very same day when he got the notice saying, quote, "My privileges to prescribe controlled substances have been suspended until further notice. Practice has been closed immediately per DEA instruction." According to several messages reviewed by the Washington Post, he wrote in an email, quote, "I'm quite a bit of shock about this." Because this guy, he's not a drug dealer. He's not he's not like some...
I mean, but... this doesn't surprise me, right? Like, this is typical government, you know?
Right.
Somebody is actually being successful at doing something.
And helping people.
Yeah. Oh, no. We can't have that. We got to shut that down.
Yep, that's exactly
what... We need those, you know, users to be addicted to heroin and all sorts of other, you know, substances so that we can throw them in jail so that, you know, the prison industrial complex can make a dollar and the law enforcement, the sheriff organization, you know, can, you know, pocket more money and say, we need more law enforcement and we need more law enforcement tools and, you know...
So we can go after doctors.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to, right, after the people who are actually potentially able to help you.
Yes, and he had been helping people, and he had a process in place to make sure that he wasn't just dealing with drug addicts that were looking for the ketamine. He had a system that would ferret those people out, and he was very successful in making sure that he's dealing with really, like, needy people who actually are looking for help with their serious mental problems. And he's a longtime physician. He was the subject of a Washington Post story in 2022. He obtained licenses to practice medicine in almost every U.S. state, capitalizing on pandemic-era telehealth flexibilities that enabled him to prescribe ketamine nationally. Smith tapped into a deep well of need from patients looking for an alternative to antidepressants, emerging as an evangelist for prescribing ketamine as to treat anxiety and depression, even though the drug hadn't been approved by the FDA for that purpose. Several of his patients had credited ketamine with saving their lives.
You know, and something to point out is that this is not that unusual to prescribe drugs off... I'm trying to think what they call it.
Whatever the intention is, yeah.
Yeah, off...
Purpose?
There's
probably some
term. There's like a specific term I'm trying to think of, but it's basically...
Off-label?
Off-label, that's okay. Probably it. But off-label, so, yeah. You know, it's... And it's not... And that's the thing.
Is
like,
it a gray area?
It's not a gray area. No. It's just that they when they do these you know, the drug testing, you know, it's for a particular thing, right? But it may be that for a great example of this might be like something like balding, right? I think that originally that was for like the heart or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And then experimenting with something for one reason, but they find out it doesn't.
But they found out that it helps with hair growing.
Right.
And so a doctor might have prescribed that for hair growth as opposed to you know what it was originally tested for.
And that's within their ability to do.
Something along those lines, yeah. I don't know how much there may be like some limits on how much they can do it or something like that, but yeah, they can.
You have to wonder whether the Washington Post feature story about this guy ended up sinking him because he got this
media.
Oh, for
sure. I'm sure it did.
And it brought him attention.
I've actually been off on I've been on a drug. I can't remember what the drug was, but it was off label. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they can definitely do it.
Smith's work and that of other at-home ketamine providers have been controversial among academics and psychiatrists who've questioned the wisdom of dispensing ketamine, a tightly regulated drug with a history of recreational abuse, to patients outside the direct supervision of a healthcare professional. Smith didn't respond to messages seeking comment recently. The Drug Enforcement Administration also didn't provide comment. Dylan Savage, 28-year-old industrial equipment executive in New York, said he had his follow-up appointment with Smith's office Tuesday morning when he renewed his prescription for ketamine tablets, but barely an hour after Smith sent his notice to patients, the pharmacy said it would refund Savage rather than fill his prescription.
Ooh.
He spent most of the night searching Reddit for other ketamine providers, he said, and is worried that Smith shutting down will put suicidal patients at risk. He said, quote, DEA is going to have blood on their hands for pulling out the rug so abruptly. Well, DEA's got a lot of blood on their hands, so I'm sure they won't even notice. Word of Smith's closure came the same day the DEA extended the ability to prescribe controlled substances by telehealth for 6 months. As it works to craft new regulations on prescribing those drugs virtually, the ability to prescribe these medications without seeing patients in person was introduced during the pandemic and transformed the way many patients receive drugs from Adderall to opioid addiction drug buprenorphine. Anyway, ketamine in recent years has emerged as a promising treatment for people with severe depression, and a derivative of the compound has been approved by the FDA to treat depression under strict guidelines. Many patients, however, have their first experience through an off-label use of the drug, that's the term, such as clinics that administer generic ketamine by infusion through an IV. Smith and a growing number of startups have brought ketamine into patient homes by prescribing it in the form of lozenges that dissolve under the tongue and can be obtained from compounding pharmacies. And this is something that we learned about in the original story was this is a more affordable way for these patients to get the drug that works for them, ketamine, by getting them through the mail in lozenge form. They can take them at home. The other way that they avoid by going through doctors like this is they have to go into this clinic and get an IV injection of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge invasive kind of way to take a drug, and it's apparently also very, very expensive because you're paying for the doctor's, you know, clinic time and whatever the IV and the nurses and all these costs, right? Now you can just get the lozenge and then take it under the tongue and you're good to go. But now they're telling this doctor that he can no longer prescribe the drug. He has said previously that he had treated as many as 3,000 patients with ketamine, that more than half of them benefited and only two of them were looking to abuse the drug. In interviews, Smith was candid about the limitations of his virtual practice and how seriously he took the risk of misusing it. He said, quote, I can have my medical license taken away. I can be fined. I can do jail time for continuing to treat people, he said, people who are abusing ketamine, that is. Still, he described his practice as a calling to help people in need. He said, I'm like a medic running around on the battlefield taking care of wounded people, and ketamine helps the people I'm taking care of. So you got to give the guy a lot of credit. He was working in a high-risk area of medicine, right? Some doctors, they just won't even touch this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want the risk of DEA coming in, raiding their clinic, or shutting down their business, possibly even arresting them. So this guy was definitely, like, taking some level of risk, even though he was doing it legally, by all evidence. But now they're telling him he can't do it anymore. And, of course, they're not commenting about it. So, like, what do you do about this? Do you sue the DEA for...
You know, the disgusting thing is that there are authorities out there who are dictating to doctors how they're supposed to do medicine,
yeah,
right?
Like, government bureaucrats.
That's not how it should work.
Patients such as Julie Miner Hackworth are now struggling to find a way to continue her therapy. She says, I was starting to experience positive, happy, joyful feelings, and now that has just been taken away. She's a 51-year-old woman living in Kentucky. She said ketamine was, quote, profoundly better for her than antidepressants, describing the effect as, quote, immediate and obvious. And this, of course, is the reason why these drugs are not allowed. This is the reason why mushrooms, MDMA, ketamine, you know, LSD, a lot of these drugs that are on the prohibited list are prohibited because they can actually have an immediate and profound effect. That's the word she used. Profoundly better. Immediate and obvious. These are effective drugs for the people who need them for various different problems. And they're more effective than the legal route. But that's bad for the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
That's a threat to the medical status quo. And so Pfizer or, you know, the other pharmaceutical manufacturers out there, these big mega corporations, they don't want to see these drugs turned legal because it will impact their ability to sell someone antidepressants to take for the rest of their lives.
They've got patents, and they use those patents to make money
big time.
And if they, you know, allowed these other drugs that, you know, were natural or at least were not patented, you wouldn't need these harsher drugs.
Even though they could sell those drugs, yep. Right? Like if ketamine were more legal, mm-hmm. and if it weren't controlled, it is quote-unquote legal under certain circumstances, but if it weren't heavily controlled as it is, then there could be ketamine at any pharmacy, at any Walgreens or whatever, and there's no reason why Merck or Pfizer or whoever couldn't manufacture ketamine and sell ketamine under whatever brand name.
But it would be equivalent to them becoming a generic, which means they wouldn't be able to charge as much.
They wouldn't be able to charge as much, and if it's as effective as these people say it is, that means people can cure their problem. Now, I'm not saying everybody can. But we know that there are people who have had such profound impacts by these illegal drugs that they've actually done things like cured their PTSD. And that's not what they really want. They want you to be on their drug for the rest of your life. They want you to be a lifetime customer taking their antidepressants every single day and paying them until you die. And that's not as it's not as profitable if you just go and buy, you know, half a year's worth of whatever treatments, and then you take the treatments with a psychologist or something like that. You work out your problems. You address the root cause of the depression, that whatever it is that happened to you or the things that you're obsessing over or whatever it is that is causing your depression. You make that, you address that, you deal with it. And then it goes away, and you can actually live a happy life without having to constantly adjust the chemical balance in your body with these drugs. That's why they don't want these things to be legal. Not only is it not profitable in the immediate term, it's not profitable in the long term for them either. Let's go to the phones here. We got Joe in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe. Joe in Maryland. Going once. Joe in Maryland. Going twice. All right. Thank you for the try. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. So a little bit more from this story. Adam Pruitt is a psychiatrist in Vermont. He's one of the few ketamine providers with Smith's national reach. He said he'd heard from well over 100 of Smith's patients since Tuesday afternoon and was trying to address the demand. He said it's exceeded my capacity to respond to. Many patients gravitated to Smith for his business model, where they would generally pay $250 a month for a consultation and a supply of ketamine, plus whatever the compounding pharmacy charged for the lozenges. That's far more affordable, said patients, than IV infusions that can run several hundred dollars per treatment.
Wow.
As well as packages that include coaching and therapy offered by at-home ketamine companies. It's not what I need, said another Smith patient, a researcher in Maryland, who spoke on the condition of anonymity because he's worried of the stigma associated with ketamine could complicate his ability to get a security clearance. Says, I need a routine of every 3 days, a dose that he would take under Smith's supervision. Another man said, the executive in New York, said, everyone else seemed like a money grab. Dr. Smith never once struck me as a money grab. said the man in New York. He said he's hopeful he can find a general practitioner to prescribe ketamine, pointing out that it is classified by the DEA as less prone to abuse than Adderall. Quote, this is a medication that any doctor with a DEA license could prescribe. They don't, because most of the medical community is ignorant and fearful of it. And if they're not ignorant and fearful of ketamine itself, they're certainly fearful legitimately of the DEA. Because if the DEA decides that you are prescribing too much ketamine, or you've given this customer over here more than you should have,
or too many, I think what it really comes down to is if you are prescribing it to too many of your customers, right? And that actually makes a lot of sense that you would be prescribing it to a lot of customers if you're...
If that's your niche.
If that's your... Yeah, exactly.
If it's working.
Right. If that's what your specialty is.
Right. So if you make this product your specialty, you basically get on the bad side of the DEA.
It doesn't even necessarily have to be your specialty, right? It's the these particular conditions that this medication treats that you would be specializing
in. And this is effective.
That's why you... Yeah, yeah.
It's a sad update. I'm sorry to hear this about Dr. Smith there in South Carolina. I hope he can do something. I hope he can countersue them.
Not likely.
It doesn't sound like there's any real reason that this has happened to them. Just, you know, he sold ketamine. People were happy. We can't have that. We can't have people being happy who are depressed. They need to be on permanent medication from Pfizer or, you know, some other drug corporation for the rest of their lives. I mean, the DEA needs to just disappear. They need to go away entirely. They do absolutely nothing of value. They destroy peaceful people's lives. They're destroying this man's business. Okay. I mean, he's still presumably a doctor. So he could probably go do other doctoring things, but this was what he was focusing on. They took away his business from him. That's not to say he can't come back from this or that he's going to be in the poorhouse or anything like that. I suspect he'll be all right, but it's not okay what these people have done to him.
Probably has to go back to general practice.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not okay what they're doing. And this is, of course, an intimidation tactic as well, because you know every other doctor in the country that has prescribed ketamine, again, a lot of them just stay away from it because they don't want to get into these circumstances. Every other doctor, they're going to hear through the industry, through friends or whatever, they're going to hear about what happened to him, and they're going to think twice now. Like, okay, do I really need to be doing this? I got a family. I got to put my kids through college. I mean, I like helping my patients, but I don't want to go to prison. Right. So, I mean, there's probably going to be some other doctors that will slow down and or stop their prescribing of this simply because they don't want to be the next target. So it's really unfortunate. The DEA is getting in the way of people being helped, people who are having a better life now, spiraling back down into whatever depression that they were having before. If you want to comment on this, you're welcome to join us. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And again, this is something else that that independents could solve.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Instantly.
Yeah.
We would be out from under the thumb of the DEA when New Hampshire, or you know, if your state secedes, when you secede, no more DEA.
Yeah, the New Hampshire law is basically based on the federal list.
That's right. Yeah, the New Hampshire drug prohibition.
By going independent, that would be struck in from.
It would literally be the same day.
Yeah.
Like the war on drugs in New Hampshire would be over the moment we seceded from the United States. Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Rusty from Portland.
Rusty, what's on your mind?
Have you heard about the Halt Fentanyl Act?
No, tell me about it.
Well, the Democrats and Republicans are finally working together. But
oh, boy, it's going to be bad.
It's because Biden, who campaigned on ending mandatory minimums, he's like, I've reformed my ways since I was a drug warrior. Now he wants to institute new mandatory minimums for all fentanyl-related substances. Like, gross. Even if it's an analog, like, designed to reverse fentanyl overdoses, that would apply to that, too.
You know, the crazy thing about that, too, is these people, they don't even know they're on fentanyl.
Right. Some people do. Some people take it on purpose.
Okay.
Well, if you have 10 grams of substance even related to fentanyl, they want to give you 5 years. So if it even has a little bit in it,
yeah,
you're effed.
Yeah, all I know is that, or my understanding is that they're lacing other drugs with it, and they've actually, yeah, they're not even giving you what you think you're getting now because, well, it's really just fentanyl.
Yeah, the Halt Fentanyl Act, according to AugustaFreePress.com, would schedule all current and future fentanyl analogs as Schedule One drugs, which would put them at the level of heroin and marijuana, drugs that, according to the federal government, have no accepted medical use. I'm sorry to hear the news about that. Was there more you wanted to share?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, dude. I appreciate it. That's an interesting point that Joe Biden has gone back on his drug reformer ways and is now going for, you know, mandatory minimums and crackdowns on this stuff. It's the insanity of the war on drugs just continuing again. They've got the new target. In the 80s, it was crack. In the 90s, it was meth or whatever, the aughts. And now it's fentanyl.
Well, he probably needs support from law enforcement and the prison industrial.
Big money for them.
Yep, prison industrial complex.
That's true. You know, any drug prohibition just means more prisoners flowing into the prisons so they can be used for slave labor.
Yep.
And so on.
But literal slave labor. People think that the United States has got to abolish slave labor, but that's actually not true. They did not abolish slave labor. There is an exception for prisoners. So
yeah, this insane war on drugs continues on. I mean, you would think that we would be getting closer to this thing ending. But it seems like while there may be a pullback in the area of marijuana, you know, we have seen more than 20 states, I believe now, have legal recreational cannabis. So, I mean, that should be applauded. And I'm glad to hear that. I'm not glad that the government is in control of it now, that it's a government-regulated, government-taxed, government-controlled situation. That's not good news. But it's still better that there aren't as many people going to prison for it. And, you know, that's, I think overall, it's been a better move than prohibition. But you would think that, you know, ending the war on marijuana might lead to some more openness towards ending the war on all drugs, and it doesn't seem like that's the case. People are just as insane about going after fentanyl now as they've been at every other, you know, point in drug war history against some other drug.
Yeah, you know what's unfortunate, too, is that we see this again and again and again, where is if you have a, you know, you have a large population, you know, whatever it is that's prohibited, you know, you legalize, you know, you get them supporting, you know, the legalization of X, of which a certain percentage of that population ends up, you know, whatever the thing that's in most demand. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. It's like, but all those other people who supported the legalization, they don't have any positive impact as a result, because it just stops, because the majority have been.
They got what they wanted.
They got what they wanted, yeah.
Out of time for tonight. Check out Chris on his show. He does his own show. It's called Freedom Decrypted. Go to freedomdecrypted.com, and you can tune into that online anytime. Podcast, video excerpts, video archives, and, of course, live on Saturdays. We'll see you tomorrow.
For prickly people.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product
product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.